When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
ESNY.
Welcome everyone back to another episode of the Knicks State of Mind podcast with your host Chip Murphy, co-host Jeff Campbell. Chip, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Very excited for this. Very excited to start this draft series that we're doing. Have a return guest on the show today watching the Yankees. Excited for baseball season, but very excited for the draft show, man. I'm very pumped to get this started.
Yeah, I echo the same sentiment. You know, Chip and I, we did kind of like a welcome back pod a week ago, just kind of detailing that we were going to be starting to reach out to a lot of different assistant head coaches from the college teams to learn as much as we can about the upcoming 2022 draft class. So as Chip said previously, tonight we have, a returning guest to the show, someone who is super knowledgeable about the game in general, but especially when it comes to the Auburn Tigers. So we are very pleased to have the video coordinator, Coach Ian Borders, on the show tonight to talk about Jabari Smith, Walker Kessler, maybe a couple of other Auburn players as well. Coach Borders, what's going on and how you been doing?
Man, everything's been good. What a year, right? I mean, it was quite the year for those Auburn Tigers, but obviously didn't finish the way that we wanted to, but ultimately, the goal is for the players is what, to win championships and to try to get paid for what they do. And we won a championship this year, and a few of our guys have a chance to get paid a little bit for what they do. So should be fun.
Absolutely. And I want to start, of course, with probably the most well-renowned player on the roster. And, of course, that's going to be Jabari Smith. He's been in conversation with Paolo Banchero, Jaden Ivey, Chet Holmgren for the number one pick pretty much the entire season. Starting off with a simple question. Why do you think he should be the number one pick when the draft rolls around in June?
Listen, you create an NBA body, and it's Jabari. You create an NBA mind, it's Jabari. You create NBA shooting, it's Jabari. I mean, the kid is special. He could, I'm a defensive minded guy. So immediately my eyes are going to go there. Whereas everybody else's are going to look at his, 42% from three. Yep. At 6'10", taking, contested jumpers game in and game out, because that's what we needed him to do. But defensively, man, this kid has a lot of potential, switching one through five and being able to disrupt anything on the ball and off the ball. So, I mean, he is your prototypical NBA. I hate to say big man. We call them big guards at that position at Auburn, but, we've had a pretty good string with the last, I think, three, 4 years, I guess. We've had somebody go pro at that position every single year. And Jabari arguably is the best out of the bunch.
Why do you say big guards? Where does that come from?
Because we're a four out one in. I mean, and we have, although we do try to use mismatches quite a bit within our offense, that position, the Chuma Okekes, the Isaac Okoros, the JT Thors, the Jabari Smiths, next year maybe Yoan, Trey Ayer, it's a perimeter-based position that we use more than anything to create mismatches. And Jabari was the ultimate mismatch this year for sure.
Yeah. We talked about Okoro and Chuma the last time you were on. And I just real quick, I know I want to talk about Jabari too, but I just want to get your thoughts on what Okoro and Chuma have done so far in the league.
Chuma was only a matter of getting healthy. Once he got healthy, we knew that he was – he we personally thought that he was going to be the number three pick before he got hurt.
Oh.
We didn't see anybody that was bigger, better than him, and especially people saw in the tournament run when we made it to the Final Four. Chuma dominated. He dominated every game on both ends of the floor. And so, you know, that Kansas game, I think, was kind of eye-opening to a lot of people. It wasn't to us, though. And he shined before he got hurt in that North Carolina game. But Isaac, man, we talked about Isaac on this podcast. Isaac Okoro is a different dude now. Like, we played him at the four spot, and he's guarding now LeBron James, Paul George, I almost said Ben Simmons, as if he played this it's amazing watching him in the past 2 years and saying, yo, this dude was a freshman in college 2 years ago. And now he's guarding the best of the best in the world. It's been fun to watch. I know, like, his last game obviously didn't shoot the ball quite the way he wanted to, once the playoffs came. But trust me, that'll be motivation this whole offseason for him, and he'll be back ready to play.
The jump shot's coming along, though. Like you said, it's coming along.
Yeah. It was something that needed a little bit of work, but he's a worker. I mean, he's just like all those guys that I mentioned before. He lives in the gym. I mean, there's not much to him other than basketball right now in his life, and he's making the most of it.
And, Coach, I wanted to kind of follow up with that. We know, consistent with what you've told us about a lot of Auburn guys like Isaac, is that they're no stranger to the gym, right? We know they're going to put the work in.
Right.
And one thing that stuck out to me when I'm doing my research on Jabari is two things. I read an article in The Athletic that detailed the 6 a.m. or 6:30 a.m. workouts that he was doing with his dad in high school, before you guys get him on campus. And then I look at his three-point percentage and three-point attempts from his junior and senior year. This guy, on no less than 150 or 180 attempts, shot less than 38% from junior – senior year, and then freshman year with you guys, he shoots 42. When did it become apparent, whether it was in practice or a game, that Jabari's three-point prowess was going to be the same at the college level?
Man, that's always a mystery, right? I mean, you bring in these high school kids. That's why so many people now, especially at our level, like the transfer portal. I personally, I'm not crazy about it because to me, it takes away from some of the high school kids and some of those mid-major or smaller major schools that put all this work into the kids. And then all of a sudden, you know, they end up going to a school like Auburn, a high major, after all the work that they did at, you know, the coaches did at the mid-major. But that's kind of the world that we live in now. But at the high school level, it's always a gamble of whether or not that those certain things are going to transfer over. Usually it's the finishing at the rim. If they're a catch and stick guy, you're going to kind of remain a catch and stick guy as long as you have that quick release to be able to get it off. You have to be able to trust your own offense as a recruiter to say, okay, our offense is going to get him these open shots with this much time. But I'd be lying to you if I told you that I thought Jabari would shoot that well his freshman year. It's a testament to him. It's a testament to the work that he put in. He worked constantly. I mean, that's the 6 a.m. workouts continued this year without any kind of push. In fact, he was the one bringing people like Wendell Green into the gym at 6 a.m. And anybody that was ready to work got the work that they, you know, needed. And I don't think there's any doubt that the two kind of most clutch players on our teams were the ones that were coming in early in the morning and putting the work in. The work works. It's kind of one of our sayings here. And so, you know, Jabari just kind of followed in the trend of guys that we've had here at Auburn and been blessed to have that are grinders, man. They put in the work. They love the game. And at this level, that's kind of half the battle. And if you love the game and you're going to put the work in outside of just practice, you know, the talent usually is there for most of the guys if they're getting recruited to places like Auburn.
Where do you think he improved the most this year?
Man, his toughness really improved. When we first got him, I hate to even tell him this, but we didn't think he was that tough. We soft wasn't ever a word that was brought out, but we definitely didn't think that he was going to be the hardest, toughest dude on our team. Now, arguably the toughest dude on our team was Alan Flanagan, who went down early in the season before the season even started. So then we got really nervous, but we knew that we had a little bit of chattered toughness with KD Johnson coming in from Georgia. And Jabari followed right along with that mentality of getting after it on the court, both, you know, with his mind and with his speech a little bit. So that was kind of a pleasure to see as the season went on and we started playing teams like LSU's, the Floridas, these kind of physical tough teams. And Jabari's down there banging with, you know, bigs that he never would have done in high school. And so the toughness factor for me was something that was a very pleasant surprise moving forward. And his dad was a tough dude. And so we kind of knew it was in his genes, but he wasn't going to let anybody punk him out there, which we were a little nervous about, honestly, coming in.
Yeah, his dad played in the NBA too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And was a big in the NBA, and as tough as they come. I mean, he wasn't quite Kevin Garnett toughness, but he's pretty close.
Yeah, I read that. There's an article in The Ringer by Miran Fader, obviously, who's amazing, and it's about the work ethic that his father instilled in him and basically trained him into the perfect modern day pro. He's just built for this.
Like, and with the genes and with his skill set that he already had, man, I'm telling you, that's why I said that. He is your prototypical, you know, big guard now at that level. Like, you know, the Giannis's, the Tatum's, the, you know, these guys that are big that can shoot too. It's insane.
Yeah, and can guard 1 through 5. That's the defense thing. The defense on the perimeter is the thing. Like you said, you're a defensive guy. That's the
thing you're seeing in the playoffs now. Those teams that can switch 1 through 5 and don't need the help and can still box out and get the offense. Like, that's the only reason Memphis is even in some most of these games is because they're getting offensive rebounds off these switches from guards that can't box Clark out. And I'm telling you, man, you switch him onto a big, or you switch him onto a guard, he's going to have the same physical mentality no matter where it is, and he's going to be able to keep the guy in front, which those teams that have those type guys right now in the playoffs are the ones that are advancing.
Milwaukee, too. Giannis can obviously can do anything, obviously. He's
a freak. I mean, the Greek freak is literally the perfect nickname because, I mean, he's freakishly big, and somebody that size should not be able to move like that. It's incredible.
Coach, before we move on to Walker, one last question I had about Jabari. If I had any criticisms, and I'd be nitpicking because at 18 years old, the sky is really the limit for him, right?
Scary, isn't it? 18 years old.
I know. I would say that, you know, sometimes his drives to the rim might seem like a little bit of a straight line. You know, it could seem that they may be a little telegraphed here and there. And I think if anything, at 6'10", I would love for him to get to the free throw line a little bit more than maybe he did. Is that something that you saw with him as well? Is there something that the coaching staff specifically was trying to work on with him in that area to get him to improve?
One of the best things that I think Coach Pearl and us as a staff do, and we follow his lead on this big time, is we try to pull out your strengths and try to showcase those strengths. Well, what's Jabari's best strength offensively? It's shooting the ball in ISO situations. We did everything we possibly could. And you know, the analytics for us were really good this year, but it was mainly because of Jabari. You know, our transition analytics were off the charts. And we did struggle some in the half court. But we at the end of the day, we saw that Jabari shooting jump shots either over defenders that are smaller than him or, you know, against bigs that he could go by, we were going to have success one way or another. Well, teams started playing him with smaller guards. And so at that point, we just had him shooting over the top every single time, which just made sense. I would put it more – I don't disagree with the critique just because we tried to hide that from him some. Because his lower body does need a little bit of work in terms of being able to get downhill and finish through contact and being able to take those extra hits and finish through them. He took the hits a lot of times but didn't finish. but he's got a real chance to improve in that area. And I think you said it right in terms of nitpickiness. I mean, that's definitely an area that he can improve, but that's one that as a GM you're looking at and saying, oh, and he works, this is going to get better by the age of 20, 21, 22.
Yeah. I mean, I'll take a chance on that any day of the week.
Since he got to Auburn, he gained 20 pounds of muscle, which on that frame, I mean, he could probably gain another 20 as he gets older and grows still into his body. He's going to be special.
Plus, you look at what Evan Mobley's done this year for the Cavs, and you can't help but be like, that's the guy you want.
That can shoot.
Yeah.
That can shoot. I mean, he's not quite as athletic as Mobley is, but, I mean, I don't know if you saw any of his highlight dunks from the tournaments, but his dunk against Jacksonville State was
– Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It was insane.
It honestly was the highlight of the tournament. I really don't think that there was it was unbelievable where he took off and just the range he had with his arm.
I told the rest of our guys, I said, man, like more than anything, that looked like a young Kevin Garnett. Yeah. And I would have never, like, I would have compared his game more to older Kevin Garnett that could stretch it out and shoot and, you know, be able to make plays for others ripping. But that was like, that dunk was young Kevin Garnett that I hadn't seen from him before, other than in practice on a couple walk-ons, which bless their heart for going up and actually attempting to block it. But yeah, that one took everybody by surprise a little bit. I mean, it was special.
As we move on to Walker Kessler here, he, as I kind of go through all of my notes of games that I've watched this year and just look at stats and kind of piece together, oh, you know, guys that I think should go a little higher than maybe where pegged. Walker Kessler is a really interesting prospect for me. Transfer from UNC, really surprised based on the season he had for you guys that he wasn't utilized more at that program. I know you probably can't speak to that, but he led the nation in blocks this year. When did it become apparent that he was going to start for you guys?
I mean, we had watched him in high school and felt really good about getting out of high school. You know, I don't know exactly how the story went, but from everything that we had heard, he went to Duke, did not have a great visit. Next weekend went to UNC, was scheduled to come to Auburn the weekend after. And I mean, we had the red carpet out. We wanted him bad just because we knew what he would do in our system. We knew, you know, he could stretch it out, shoot a little bit. And defensively, we would feed everything right to him to where he could just use his wingspan and block everything, really. But I don't know if it was the visit at Duke that rubbed him so badly the wrong way that he wanted to go to UNC, or if it was just the UNC allure. Because let's be honest, I mean, UNC, you know, after he decided to go to UNC and we never even got our second visit, we were really upset about it. And we're looking at each other at the end of the day in the office saying, man, look how far Auburn's come. We're mad about losing a five-star recruit to UNC and Duke. Right. Like, we're really upset about this. And so at that point, we kind of took a step back, realized that we had some really good players in our program still. But that transfer portal is always something special. And we knew the bigs that they had on that team. I mean, they have arguably three pros that were ahead of him on that team. One of them ended up transferring to Mississippi State. The other one went pro, and the other one made it this past year to the finals. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think he wanted to get a little closer to home. Auburn is so close to Atlanta that, you know, that's the majority of – I mean, all the kids that we've talked about on here are all Atlanta kids. And so that hub has been really good for us. And that talent in that area has just been amazing. Well, like I said, he could shoot it in high school, but he took four threes at UNC. So that was our whole pitch to him. Like, yo, you want to get back to playing like you did in high school? We got the perfect system for you. Just like we did last year. We'll plug and play right now. And you, by the way, Jabari's already coming.
And they played each other in high school.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They had battles in high school. yeah. big time battles. It was fun to watch. But he, I mean, he's special in terms of, you know, defensively. I witnessed the first two triple doubles of my life in college basketball in person. And I mean, to get a triple double in college is insane. Especially with blocks.
Double-digit blocks, yeah. Jesus.
Twice. He did it. He did it multiple times. Not the triple-double part, but I'm pretty sure he had at least 11, 12, and
four. He had two triple-doubles. One against LSU and one against Texas A&M on college game day. It's crazy. Wow.
One of my favorite parts of his game, and I would love to hear what you have to say about this, is that, you know, he's physical without fouling. Like, he does a really good job of staying vertical when guys are driving to the rim. Was this something that he was just good at when he got to you guys, or did he improve in that area at Auburn?
He was pretty talented already in that. I mean, he had – I want to say he still held the ACC record in the tournament for blocks at UNC. Like, he got in against Notre Dame and had, like, 8 blocks. Honestly, he's so gifted with his offhand blocking shots. Like, more than 50% of his blocks came with his left hand, which when you think about it is kind of insane. But people were trying to dodge his right hand by either going around or going over, and he's coming with the other hand. And his wingspan is – I mean, he's 7'1 with, like, a 7'4 wingspan. You know, he used to say after every once in a while and just mess around, and we'd play one-on-one. Man, I'm 5'8". You know, I'm the same height, same build as Wendell Green. So I'm like, oh, man, I can do some of this stuff. Even at 37, I can get out there and shake these dudes a little bit. Man, I get by him thinking that I have a free reign right to the basket. And he comes and just volleyball spikes everything.
Yeah, man.
It's insane. And even when he makes that jump, his second jump is just as deadly as the first. You think you got him, he jumps. It's amazing, honestly, yeah, just his instincts. And he's got great feet. So – he can slide and slide, slide, keep you in front, or slide, slide, recover to beat you at the rim, which I don't think there's too many players in this draft that have that kind of instinct.
No, I was reading Kevin O'Connor was talking about him, and he was saying that it's gotten to a point where guys don't even test him anymore, which is something that people say about Gobert, too, which just changes the game completely when he doesn't even need to block shots.
Yet. Yeah. Like,
just him being there changes things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there were a lot of kickout moments where we're telling our guys, like, you know, we had multiple scouts where we just said, don't help at all off shooters. Don't just stay connected and make them finish over Walker or try to pass it. Because his recovery, his feet were so good in recovery. Even when they dumped it off to players, he was still there to contest, which took more than enough off their plate because they're so worried about that block shot or getting blocked, especially on national television. I talk to players all the time. I was little, so I hated getting blocked because that's what was supposed to happen. And it's amazing how many of these big guys, that's the most embarrassing things to them is getting blocked because it's a pride thing. And so once he took care of one shot, there weren't too many dudes that tested him again. So it's, you know, it was a fun season to watch him just go to work out there.
Blocked 155 shots this season. I had to look that up, and that's the most since Anthony Davis blocked 186 shots in 2011-2012. I was like,
and they won the national title. Yeah. So I mean, that
exactly.
They probably won the SEC too, which gives that's probably 7 or 8 more games. You know,
yeah, so exactly.
We got knocked out in the first round of the SEC for us, and then the second round in NCAA. So it's. You know, that was kind of always our thing. We're second in all-time in three-point makes for a season behind Villanova. The Final Four team was second, and they were like – they beat us by like 9. Well, they had that one more game, and that year in the tournament, we were averaging like 12 makes, 12 three-point makes a game. So we were like, damn, if we could just take care of Virginia and had one more game, we could have had a shot at it. But wasn't meant to be. Jay Wright was supposed to keep that one in the stars the whole time.
We talked a little bit about it before we started recording, but that January 22nd win against Kentucky, it wasn't Walker's statistically his best game, but honestly, man, it was a game where his impact on both sides of the floor was so evident. I mean, he was incredible in the pick and roll, just a monster, like Chip said. where guys would not even test him at the rim. Was there anything that you saw from him either pregame or in the week of practice, or you might feel like, listen, that's just Walker this whole season. But just it seemed like that game and maybe a little bit before, Walker went on this tear where he was getting double digit this, double digit that, and really started to get his name into a lot of draft conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I think his kind of his coming out party was the LSU game, the first game of SEC, because he had had some nice games going up to that, like the Loyola Chicago game sticks out to me when we were down in the Bahamas. And it was, you know, our second round matchup down there, and he played really well. But I think everybody kind of had their eye on the LSU game because at that point they were still undefeated. They arguably were the biggest, baddest team in the SEC. Mm-hmm. And he came out and had a triple double, and there were dudes that they got some dudes now. They got some big dudes.
Tari, a whole bunch. They got plenty of guys.
I'm telling you, and they wanted no part of Walker down there. So that confidence I think started there. And he took it definitely all the way to the Kentucky game. And we had heard the whole week, and just like every time we play, we've beaten Kentucky, I think, six straight years, maybe five straight years. But anyway, I think we're the only team that can say that over that span. Now, they've beaten us too, and we've been lucky enough to play them twice, three times sometimes, some of the years. But it's hard to do. Kentucky's still Kentucky.
Yeah.
And they got a lot of dudes. But one thing that we told Walker was we thought their bigs would struggle to score oversize, and we felt like their guards hadn't seen the ball pressure that we were going to put on them yet. Part of that was a little heartbreaking because Ty Washington only played like the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Went down with a brutal ankle, you know, turn. And I mean, that affected their team because he's a big-time playmaker for them, and he's just a smart player, a solid player that's going to give people open shots. But, you know, Sevier Wheeler still played a really, you know, solid game.
Really tough player.
He is. He's and for a small guy, too. I mean, he's little. Yeah. I mean, he's smaller than me. But
Toppin, too. Toppin had a good game.
Toppin's got a real chance to be special.
Yeah, this is the next podcast.
Maybe not his brother special. But, man, Walker – you know, I think all the hype with Shigwe, you know, fueled him a little bit.
Yeah.
And he went out and played really well.
What would you say he needs to improve on the most going into the league? We know, you know, free throw percentage isn't great. That doesn't always concern me so much with bigs. You know, that's sometimes a thing that they have to improve with. But what would you say is the area he needs to improve with the most to take that next step?
Yeah, I think for him, just having that mental toughness of knowing that you're the biggest, baddest dude on the court. You know, the Arkansas game comes to mind. We played at Arkansas. Now, it was one of the rowdiest atmospheres I've ever been a part of in college basketball. And it was rocking, and we were number one, and were without our starting point guard at the time. But we were up, I think, you know, 5 points with like a minute and a half left. And even in that span, you know, he's got a great stroke, and he's got a really, really nice form. Everything about it. I mean, in practice, you know, he shoots upper 40s open shots in practice all the time. And so free throw wise, he's excellent. He's an excellent free throw shooter. But there were certain moments where, you know, the moment may have been, you know, a little too big for him, and you know, he would go and miss those. And so just having that confidence moving forward, if he has the confidence and the mental toughness that I know he has in him, he's going to be a pro for a very long time.
Yeah.
But I'd be lying if I didn't say, you know, it is a big jump, especially for bigs going from, you know, college to the pros, because you're going against grown men, and he's still, you know, 19, 20 years old, and he looks the part for sure, and he's got the skill to do it. Now it's just getting a little bit of confidence, proving to himself that he could do it at that level, just like he did here at Auburn.
There was something that you said And it actually reminded me of, going back to Jabari, it reminded me of something I heard about him that I wanted to talk to you about. And in that same Athletic article that I referenced, there was also something that talked about the coaching staff really loving him, because what set him apart from other five-star recruits was that when he did drills with you guys, he didn't go against guys that were weaker than him. He right. always went against somebody that had an edge on him. And the thing was, everyone was like, most five-star guys, like you said earlier in this podcast, they don't want to get their shot blocked. They don't want to look weak on TV. They don't want to look, because they know it may potentially affect brand, draft stock, whatever it is, right? But that wasn't the case with Jabari. If you could talk a little bit about that and what you saw with him this year.
He's the most competitive guy I've ever been around. I mean, everything for him is a competition, whether that's, you know, doing something on the bus, whether it's cards or some sort, you know, like a guess who game, or it doesn't matter. Like, brush your teeth the fastest. Like, it, I'm telling you, like, the dude is – he mentally, his makeup, everything is a competition. And so for him, he wants to prove that he's the best, not only to everybody around him, but to himself. And he's not a – I can't say that he's a great loser in terms of, like, when he's going to be right back in the gym the next hour just trying to work on whatever it was that didn't go right. Like, the Missouri game comes to mind. He had the worst shooting that I had ever seen from him in a game. He was like 1 for 13 something, still made a huge shot late, which shows kind of where his mental toughness is. But when we got back from that trip, he stayed in the gym that night and just got shots up, even after playing at Missouri, getting home late at night. Wow. That's just his makeup, man. He just gets it now. Like, even in the locker rooms and stuff, you know, him and Wendell and KD, they put bets on everything. Well, who you got in this game? Oh, I got that. No, I got that. Like, the NFL games were – the season was hilarious in our preseason stuff, because none of them really for real had a team. And so they were just like, oh, I got them. Oh, I got them. All right. All right. Okay, let's go. Let's get it. So everything for him is a competition.
Yeah.
You know, just – and that feeds over into practice. It being competitive in practice, which is what every coach wants in the offseason, was easy with him. Isaac was in the same mold, but we had a bunch of seniors that were competitive and had made it to a Final Four. And Isaac arguably was the most competitive in that whole group out of all the seniors. Jabari came in with a bunch of young dudes. We were still like the third or fourth youngest team in college basketball after being the youngest team the year before. And he came in, asserted himself as a leader immediately. And the rest was history.
Do you think there's any underrated – we've seen so much praise for Jabari, obviously. He's going to be a top three pick. Is there any game of his, do you think, that's underrated right now? Any part of his game, sorry?
Well, I think everybody goes immediately to a shooting and they see 6'10", can shoot. And to me, like I said, I mean, there's – his defense is special. Like, there's a clip in it against Alabama, a really good Alabama team that smacked Gonzaga, that – beat Baylor, that, you know, I thought Alabama was really underrated all year, and they had some tough losses, but Alabama, he starts the game, I want to say 2 for 2. I mean, banging a three and then shooting an ISO jumper right over somebody's, one of their guys, defenders' faces. And then not three possessions later, he goes down, pins a guard that he took him to the rim, pins him off the backboard, takes the ball, pushes the transition, goes down and finishes with his left hand. I mean, it's those little subtle things you just don't see from 6'10 freshmen, like true freshmen. And so his ability to get downhill, we talked about it a little bit, you know, earlier. That was something that was extremely difficult for him to do early in the year. And as he got along, as the year went on, he got stronger. And it became a part of his game that he was able to pull out in the middle of, you know, crunch times. But defensively, I think that's where he's a real gem. I think being able to play both sides of the ball effectively while guarding and playing multiple positions, you know, the guys, a couple scouts called me and they said, well, do you think he could play any three? I said, yeah, he could. You know, it depends what you're doing with your threes. Are you putting him in a corner and letting them just shoot? Or are they attacking downhill?
Yeah.
You know, can he guard threes? There's no doubt. He can guard point guards. He can guard threes, twos, fives. It doesn't matter. So, I mean, it's, you know, he's going to be really fun to watch, especially when that time comes. My wife just pulled up. Sorry about that.
Don't worry about it.
It's all good.
We've had louder noises on our podcast, yeah, believe me.
One other question I wanted to ask you. I know I asked you the last time we had you on, and I'm always interested to hear from teams, you know, who's the toughest guy that they played against, or who was the toughest team that they played against? Who do you think gave you guys the most fits from a player standpoint and from a team standpoint?
Man, player is – that's a tough one because there were so many good players this year. And
especially in the SEC.
Oh, my gosh, man. It was loaded every time. You know, for me, probably – Kennedy Chandler was
Tennessee. Wow,
yeah,
he was special. He was bigger than I thought. Like, his wingspan is like 6'6", and I on tape he doesn't look that big.
Yeah,
and so, you know, you're watching him, you're like, okay, you can do certain things against him and disrupt him. And man, everything that we threw at him just seemed to backfire in our face. Because he would either finish at the rim or make the right play, because it was almost like Jared Harper was a few years ago for us. And he was bigger than Jared, but I mean, he would make hook passes over our bigs. And we're like, man, how did he do that? And his wingspan was just huge. And so he's got a real chance. His pace of play was fantastic. And usually Tennessee doesn't give us trouble. I think we had beaten them like 6 or 7 straight, like not just years, but straight. And they beat us at their place, you know, off, I think, by 2 or 3. The team though, for whatever reason, man, Florida switches everything and
really?
You know,
they
just bothered us for whatever reason. Ole Miss is always up there too, even though they tend to not have great teams. We play them twice. They're one of our rival schools. You know, the SEC's got
in
three.
Air quotes.
Well, like, the SEC has each team has three rivals.
Yeah.
Our two natural ones are Georgia, which is obvious, and Alabama.
And Alabama.
Yeah.
And then our third one is Ole Miss, and that was always kind of a head scratcher for me, but. You know, because the other two, I mean, we're so close to Atlanta and obviously Georgia and everything right here. And then, you know, obviously Alabama's the in-state do. But, yeah, in terms of player, I'm trying to think of another. Like, I think Ty is going to be really good. He just doesn't make mistakes. You know, they didn't play him as at much at point, but I think the games that he did play, he had, like, double-digit assists both games. When Wheeler was out. So, I mean, I think, you know, I think he has a real chance. But the teams, man, the teams this year in the SEC were just loaded. So it's hard to just pinpoint just one.
I think I have one more, and then obviously Chip, you know, if you have any more for Ian, definitely get in there as well. When you look back at this team, who was the heart and soul of Auburn for this past season?
Woo. There were a lot of fan favorites. It was a fun team to watch. I mean, it's hard to go away from Jabari. Jabari was definitely our heart and soul, and you know, somebody that our team leaned on heavily for production. You know, Wendell. It's funny because Wendell Green was kind of our stereotypical player. He's, you know, a little undersized. Chip on his shoulder, played at a mid-major first, had unbelievable numbers, and, you know, would come down and bang a three in training. I mean, his whole game sort of fit what we do at Auburn. And I think if you ask some of our fans that, you know, I think you would get a majority of three guys, maybe even split three different, like literally three even ways. And then the last one would probably be KD, just because KD's energy on the court is infectious.
Yeah.
And he makes
him crazy. He's fun to watch.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Seeing him jaw at Coach Cal during that 20.
Oh, that was awesome.
He's talking to everybody.
That was awesome.
I was like, what?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, obviously he played for Coach Crean at Georgia. And we were like, oh, Lord, this is going to get in there. And, yeah, he hit two threes early and obviously probably can't repeat what he was saying, but he was letting them know about it, I'll just say that.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a fun game. The St. Peter's Kentucky game, I'll never forget watching that game. That was one of
the greatest games ever. Dougie, he couldn't miss.
Oh, God. Now every time,
He's going to Bryant now, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, and one more question before we let you go. When I was thinking about Jabari, I was thinking about this. Whenever we see elite prospects go to the NBA, sometimes we see them do some things that we didn't see them do in college, whether it's the system that the team ran or the fact that they played with so many other good players. And obviously Jabari played next to another really good big man with Walker. Sure. Is there anything that you think we might see next year from Jabari that we haven't seen yet?
Yeah, I mean, I think for him, he pushed the break quite a bit for us. If he got the rebound, which he always had good numbers rebounding, he took it and pushed it. I think seeing him in playmaking roles out of ball screens is something that is kind of next level for his evolution. Because he's a willing passer. And I think a lot of times this year, I mentioned it earlier, but we needed him to score. We needed him to take on isolation situations and take tough shots occasionally because, one, we had built in offensive rebounding for it because that's just kind of what Coach Pearl does. But two, we had really good offensive rebounders. And so we thought him taking even a contested isolation shot was still a pretty high percentage, but even if he missed it, our percentage of getting the offensive rebound was even higher. And obviously we, you know, everybody kind of feeds off offensive rebound, either right back putbacks or, kick out threes, you know, those inside out threes are the best way, you know, to shoot threes. So I think seeing him in playmaking roles a little bit more and less scoring roles, you could see that some next year, and especially because depending on what kind of team he goes to, you know, he might be the focal point of that offense. And so him having to create help and having to, you know, take on double teams to kick out to other people, you know, is something that I think he could expand on and that he could utilize.
Man, that would be something if he could add that to his game too, along with the shooting and the defense.
We use him a lot in where he would set a screen and teams that would switch. We knew that he then would take advantage of it the opposite way. You know, we had little guards, so teams either drop covered us or they tried to blitz our little guards and not let them pass out of it. And you know, Jabari, the couple times that we put him in ball screens, made the right play. And it was able to see over the defense to make the right play. And so, you know, that's kind of next level stuff.
And when you watch him bring the ball up in the fast break too, and just pull up from three, like himself, like he's a guard, like whew, you're just in awe.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember that one of the games, I want to say it was Murray State, a really good Murray State team. We played them at home this year and it was a good game. But he brought the ball up at one point, and one of their little guards went for a steal. And, I mean, he hit him with, like, a tween behind the back that looked like as natural as a point guard would do it. And all of us kind of looked around like, oh, shit. Like, that was different. That was a little bit more next-level type stuff, not 18-year-old freshman. So, you know, his game still has some evolution to it, and that's a scary thought.
Yeah, it's wild how young he is. He's young. He's significantly younger than Chet, but he's also younger than Paolo too.
Yeah, no doubt. And And I don't know either one of those two personally, but I feel like it'd be hard to get more mature than
oh, yeah. From everything you read about him and then you watch him on the court, he's clearly a mature kid.
He gets
especially for his age, yeah.
He gets it. You know, the great ones get it, and he definitely gets it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we can't wait to see where he lands and how his NBA story starts. Listen, Coach, you know, we are more than appreciative of your time here. We learned a lot about Walker and Jabari. We'll be pulling for both of them. I'd like to say Chip and I are definite Auburn Tigers fans. So we'll be pulling for you guys in the upcoming season as well. Thanks again for some of your time tonight.
Hey, listen, one of our assistants is from up top, up in Newark. So, listen, we'll take all the
Northern. Oh, nice.
All right. Yep, Newark, New Jersey. So, we always try to keep a little bit of – it's been mainly Philly kids as of late, but we try to keep a little bit of Northern vibe to our team. So,
that's good.
Those kids are tough, no doubt. So, it's good to blend with all these Atlanta kids.
Yeah, good.
I appreciate you guys, though, man. Thank you for having me on again, and I look forward to the next time.
Anytime. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and we'll talk soon, Coach.